And coming your way next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz, or one, Radio One of These Years, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, your internet show, archived at the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, huffsantacruz.org website, in case you want to catch old shows or want to review this one again, in case you're listening to it for the first time on the internet. We have a kind of a conclusion of some of the stuff we started on Thursday, including the Desiree Quintero memorials, possibly some more from the Red Church of last week. The who knows? We may look in on the Catch Committee, though. The audio there was pretty bad. That's the community homelessness will do nothing, but we'll chatter about it all fall committee. Then there's also a lot of sort of varied interviews with folks on the street. There was also a Drew Memorial, a Drew Agenda discussion meeting coming up for the next city council meeting a day after tomorrow on Tuesday, if you're listening to this on Sunday the 10th. Goodness. Hope I didn't say this was for the 9th. It isn't. This is being recorded on the 9th, but it's actually for the 10th. And I'm going to pretend it's the 10th, as I usually do. It's also going to conclude a discussion with Carol Denny of Berkeley and a bunch of other things that I cannot quite put my finger on right now, but you will be able to hear if you stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't.
So I'm going to begin pretty soon with an update from Food Not Bombs activist Keith McHenry as a sort of a Saturday update. He's done a number of things. One of them was to appear on Saturday morning on the KSCO show, the Saturday morning special, which is at 10:80 a.m. And you can find that at KSCO.com, looking for Saturday's special, and you can actually hear that show. He and Alicia Kuhl showed up and got quite an opportunity to expand and a sympathetic audience, surprisingly enough, from Michael Zwirling of KSCO, who hasn't had me on for quite a while. He made it a practice to demand I not use the words Free Radio Santa Cruz on the air, even though it had nothing to do with his station, didn't broadcast commercials and so forth. He's been quite picky about that and other things. But in any case, I was glad he had Alicia and Keith on, the two activists, and then it was actually expanded for another hour. And you can find that entire thing archived, or soon to be archived, on the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website at huffsantacruz.org under the latest and lost shows, which is on the front page of the Huff website. Just look for the Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides section. That's the name of this show, in case you didn't notice. And it's really interesting. And a lot of information on it, and also a little exchange with some hostile critics, though mostly, really, I think, with a few, I think, minor exaggerations and corrections that probably I would have made if I were on the show of the two activists, but generally great stuff. But before I get into that interview with Keith to have him kind of give us any breaking news down at the Food Not Bombs as of yesterday, which would be, of course, on that Saturday, as we are, as you're hearing this, presumably on Sunday or later, the 10th. Here's an interview on the sidewalk with two artists who in the past have been harassed really rather intensely by police. And more important, they've stood up to the harassment, refusing to move, refusing to locate themselves inside the little brass disc cages that were created by reactionary council members in order to cool out and drive away and control to, I don't know if it's to extinction, but certainly over-control the downtown scene and give the police all kinds of powers to harass people they want. For unknown reasons, probably because I just, every time I say I'm going to look into this, I space it out and don't, performers have not been bothered much on Pacific Avenue. That's not an entirely unqualified statement. They have suffered some harassment, but the rules have been sort of either loosely enforced or generally ignored by the we show up in mass with our green and blue uniforms, Mills Gruppen stuff that come in and really ridiculous numbers for small complaints. But they've been allowing people to continue to vend forbidden material according to the laws of Santa Cruz, which are unconstitutional, the ordinances that were created 3 or 4 years ago under, I don't know, whether it was Lynn Robinson or Hillary Bryant or Cynthia Matthews or one of those reactionary mayors who led a reactionary council. Anyway, Alex and Joff are artists who are back. They were famous for showing up in dressed like 1775 revolutionists, if you can call white slave owners revolutionary, right before the war against the British and essentially the war to make sure that the Somerset decision in England didn't spread to the United States and free the slaves there, which was sort of a little-known aspect of that law. That actually was only one of the many motivations. Another was to be able to expand westward and smash the Indians. The British wanted to maintain more peace with the Indians. And, of course, to resist the taxes that the British were levying in order to balance their books without any kind of representation by colonists, taxation without representation. Anyway, Joff and Alex dressed up in outfits from this period of time to demonstrate their concern about the betrayal of constitutional principles that the Santa Cruz police were engaged in. They were in ordinary civilian clothes when I came across Alex and Joff at the corner of, I guess it was Soquel and Pacific, and I'm going to play that now. It's about 5 to 4. It's November 8th. I'm down here on the corner of Soquel and Pacific. And again, the treasonous stands of Alex and his associate have reappeared, Alex and Joff, with their unique artwork, again outside the sacred brass disc squares, which I don't even see on the sidewalk anymore. I guess they aren't enforcing this much, but Alex has told me that they haven't been bothering him and his colleague, but there has been some, perhaps, rumors of hassles of other people. Is that accurate?
Rumors.
I have heard a couple of things sort of secondhand.
What do you know, Robert?
Very little.
Tell us everything you know.
And I want these dated, please.
Oh, yeah, you always want them dated.
I love the dated.
The time is now.
The time is now, that's for sure. And what I'm referring to are the paintings that Alex was giving me several prints of. He's selling them 3 for $20. They're I like them. I like, as a matter of principle, getting art from local vendors and getting handicrafts from local vendors. But I also just like their paintings. They're kind of abstract and visionary and colorful. And check him out if you see him. He's there on weekends, Friday and Saturday, along with Joff.
Last time I was down here, you two were on a truck with your artwork posted on a van after having been, fined 3 times in court, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't want to set myself off into post-traumatic episode.
Indeed.
So let's not get into details.
The history is always positive. But it's positive compared to what's happened in the past. I even see a Santa.
They don't seem to be enforcing their ridiculous
ordinances.
You know,
I do see one of the Santa Cruz police dressed in orange or green walking by and not bothering you, which is good news.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what causes them to, you know, decide things are important one day and not the next. But I'm glad that they, it's not important, so I'm glad that they've recognized that for now or for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm ever vigilant.
I hope so. You're not usually in your usual Liberty outfits from Pioneer days, or
those aren't usual.
Well, they were usual for a while.
That was a deviation from the norm.
I see. So you spend a number of hours here a day. You've been here 6 times at least in the last...
I don't know. Are you a member of the CIA? Are you working as a CIA operative?
I'm proud of my CIA membership. After all, we're on Hillary Clinton's side, right? I mean, that's what counts. I'm getting some nice artwork here. How long does it take to do one of these things? Is there a standard time?
No standards.
And have things gotten better in terms of customer appreciation in the last, I don't know, coming back 3 years later?
I don't know. It's just people are always, you know, there's enough people that seem to enjoy, you know, what's going on. I don't know if it's more or less. I don't know if it's, you know, there's such an undulation, you know, some days and some weeks and months and years. Sure, there's changes in the receptivity, but it always just cycles back.
Is it paying the rent?
It's a big cycle. Yeah, I've supported myself for a lot of years doing this.
And you still are?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the supporting has not gotten worse? And has it gotten better?
Supporting has gotten worse.
Well, I mean, in other words, is the belt tighter? Or?
I like to wear my belt tight because I think it accentuates my curves.
We won't get into that right now.
Let's get into it.
So how many of those are you giving me?
I figured out how to get Robert off topic. I don't know. What do you got here? Do you want anything else? Did I get the Ibogaine in here?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You did, okay. I think that makes at least 4. Getting 4 of your prints here.
Yeah, if you all don't know, Ibogaine's used to treat opiate addiction. Ibogaine. Google it. Don't take my word for it.
And indeed, I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it. Whipped out another 20 so I can get a couple more from you.
Really?
Yeah.
If you want to. You can still get a couple more without doing that, but you can also do that.
Thank you very much. If you want to give more to other people as a consequence, that would be great. But in the meantime,
okay.
Support your local artists.
I caught you there. Thank you. I will. I try to. Oh, you're still recording.
I'm still recording you.
Ha! I'm not trying to talk about what a nice guy I am on tape.
You should.
No, I'll just tell you that in private.
We'll go off tape here for a minute. Hold. Yeah,
that's just one of the things that I'll always take as a fond memory. You know, it is like, you know, just hoping people can share it. And then, you know, especially with all the chats. From here that I definitely get something out of that too. And you'll see people like, oh really? Like, whoa, you know, I mean it's great when people just love it and want to support, like that is that I can do that. It is the little bit of wealth I have, the prints don't cost that much. But importantly it seems like I don't, you know what I mean? And well sure, but you know, once, but then that's done. And I don't, you know, so once it's done it's like might as well. So I'm really doing it for it. That's one of my favorite things about this. But thank you I like that you added that because you appreciate that too. But I will keep that in mind. It's even extra. Oh no, I'm glad you added it about if you want to give some to some other people because when you gave me the extra, I'm glad that you added that because you appreciate that aspect too. Of like, hey, let's spread this around. That's cool to me because that's if you will. Hopefully next time I'm not sick. But really, I feel like I said so. I'm getting over it. I've been eating raw garlic, so I don't think I'm contagious at this point. I'm annoying. I'm not contagious.
A couple more?
Well, you get whatever you want, absolutely. Or if you want some for Jack or whatever. like there, right? Like, does that have to deal with the creature and the whole thing that went down with him? Or, like, there's also the California state law or something, right?
Yeah, I think there is a... I'm on the recording again. I'm back. I believe that at the beginning of the year they changed the vending law so that you can't specify which items you can and can't vend on the Pacific Avenue, which they did in their ordinance. And I mean, I guess it wouldn't have changed the situation for you because this is free, you know, so-called First Amendment activity. They have to acknowledge in some way.
Yeah, I didn't even look at what they currently have because I didn't want my head to explode. But I just figured, okay, they're not enforcing
things.
They
haven't changed the law, but they've changed the policy. No, they haven't changed the law.
So the ordinance is still on the books.
Right, but there may be, as I understand it, but the state, also they have a new city council that I think, this is my speculation, that because it has a theoretical liberal majority, which isn't actual, but it's theoretical, because Justin Cummings is the new mayor, who was the guy who was elected, supposed to be part of the progressive majority, but he's been voting all the wrong way repeatedly. But I think the police are still maybe apprehensive that if they try to go after vendors, they may find themselves not only facing the courts, but facing the city council again. But so I don't know. It's speculative. But they haven't been bothering you. That's the issue for you.
Or anybody. I mean, that was the rumor. So we were just like, well, all right, let's go test the waters. You know,
you haven't seen anybody being bothered.
Not really. Like I say, there were some rumors that people were being told certain things, though not anything about enforcement, really.
No one told you to move along.
Not about enforcement, really. That's the thing. So if they're like, oh, well, we'd like you to be here or whatever, it gets a little squirrely at that point. Because, you know.
They don't say move along or get a ticket.
Well, yeah, not that I've heard. But yeah.
And they haven't told you that.
No.
That's what's important.
Well, that's one thing that's important.
Terms of this issue.
Well, as far as I'm, sure. No, I think it's of all of us, you know, anybody out here.
Well, if folks want to find Alex and Joff, you can catch them presumably on Pacific Avenue, in the late afternoon during the Fridays, or are you just generally around?
You know, we're like Batman and mushrooms combined. We appear when we either were needed or after it rains for a while.
I can't say anything about that. But I'm finding them in the corner right in front of the old Forever 21 before it goes away forever, which might not be such a bad idea, actually. Anything about, have you been elsewhere that you want to comment about, like in other cities or?
I've been doing a bunch of things, but not that sticks out right at this moment.
I mean, I've read about your adventures in other cities of a couple years ago, Colorado,
anything
I think.
That dramatic. You know, if you look me up, you can find what I've done online. If I think it's relevant, I'll put it out.
And if people want to find you, how should they find you online? Under what?
Just look at me, Google me.
You would be?
You know who I am, come on.
But do those listening?
They know who I am, too. They know who I am.
Very well. We will hope they do. And I will take your work and consign it to the fire where it belongs.
Thank you. Yes, burn these immediately.
Thank you. Appreciate the work.
Yeah, thank you. But you didn't get more done. I just put in that once. So I get a few more.
Well, I will. Maybe I'll get some.
Yeah, you can do that.
Throw this in your roll, or do you want this in a separate roll, or how? Okay.
I'm told I have some credit over here because I gave
him money.
He gave that to me.
What?
He gave that to me.
He gave it to you?
Actually, he gave me something.
I have to bribe the local critic. Not going to work.
We've been having a good time.
It seems to have worked.
Excellent.
I got a lot of bribery here, but I can tell you, I'm taking this directly to the police.
We have to clear some wall space. Boy.
So,
thank you so much.
So, Job. Job, no, I hear no hassles from police. By the way, I'm recording. So.
Not yet, no. We've heard other people mention that they were talked to about, you know, being in one of the spaces, but it's kind of hearsay at this point. I haven't experienced anything myself personally.
Of course, by the spaces, you mean these brass disced areas that you're kind of half in, half out of here, right?
Yeah, I'm keeping a little bit of a leg in here just to consolidate things here.
And how many times have you been out here in the last, I don't know, month?
Wow, it's kind of hard to count. Almost every weekend.
And no 2 or 3 hours at a time? Or
No.
Briefly, then?
No, like multiple, sometimes several hours at a time.
Longer than 60 minutes?
Sure, yes.
Shocking. But no hassles from authorities?
Not yet. Not yet. But, you know, I'm not gonna hold my breath.
Right. You've traveled a lot over the, you know, back and forth. Here's our old friends, the police, passing by. They even wave at you as they go by. How nice. Anything you want to comment about different cities, how it compares with Santa Cruz in terms of the ability of artists to show their work and communicate with the public?
Yeah, we ran into a few issues. It's up on YouTube if you look up the Jones Skelton Report. Our experience in Boulder was honestly like a lot worse than some of the ordinances they have here in this town, in a few different ways. But I won't go too far into details, but that's all up on YouTube. A few other states, we've ran into a couple of issues with, you know, municipalities sort of just trying to control public space like it's their living room. But you know, it's kind of a pervasive trait across the states.
Last time you were hassled in any city was when?
I think the last time was in Boulder, Colorado.
It was a while ago.
On the Pearl Street Mall.
And that was a couple years ago?
Yeah, that was in 2017.
Is that because you've been laying low or because you just haven't been hassled?
No, we actually ran into an opportunity to sort of repurpose this old building in San Francisco on Haight Street into sort of this outdoor gallery sort of thing, where we also had like a public painting exhibition going on and all that, where anyone could just walk up and do their thing. And so we were holding that down for about a year or so.
Paying the rent?
Yeah. Yeah, for close, I think it was like about a year.
And the rents went up?
No, actually, we kind of, two things. Alex's dad kind of had a medical problem that, you know, he had to go up to Oregon and visit for a little while and just check in with family. So he had to take a little step back. Yeah, we kind of regrouped and reconsidered sort of our approach with getting the artwork out there and started putting some artwork in some different stores up and down the West Coast between San Francisco and San Diego.
And here you are in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, just out here again. This is just such an important part of, you know, our experience in general. Is this is where not only this place but the public space in general is kind of like where we got our starts with everything in our art careers. And so it's important to keep that part alive, and it sort of humanizes the whole viewing the art experience. It's cool to be selling stuff through stores, but when you actually like get to talk to the people and have a personable experience, that to me is invaluable.
Are you getting a lot of that today?
Yeah, it's a little bit slower today. Fridays tend to kind of ebb and flow later in the evening time. Usually people get down here and they're pretty open-eyed and ready for the night. But it's on and off. Just been out here during the weekends, and nothing too crazy going on out here.
Any change in the streets from 2017 or 2016 when you were here last?
Yeah, I'd say that there's more people out right now with their artwork, their music, or, you know, whatever their expression may be. I'm kind of seeing an uptick in just people coming out and just waving their freak flags. So it's kind of cool to see this replenishing of that renaissance.
Cool. What about poverty? You see much less poverty, more poverty, about the same?
It stayed pretty consistent. There's all forms of humanity that comes out here, man. It's kind of a mixed batch. I haven't really noticed like a serious uptick in impoverished people, but it hasn't been too out in the open, as far as I've seen. But I'm only here like 2, sometimes 3 days a week. So you know,
how many hours a day?
Sometimes like 8 hours or so.
Wow. Huh. Must
or more.
Enjoy. Do you actually do your work out here, or you just exhibit it?
Yeah, I've been working on a few things while I've been out here painting.
Violating the technical rules of Pacific Avenue. Interesting.
Yeah, there is no more rules.
That's true. They're on the books, but as far as I see, they aren't being enforced.
I acknowledge no rule. I know nothing.
No rules, no rulers. We've been talking with?
Joff Jones.
Thanks, Joff.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my card. I've forgotten or lost it over the years.
Oh, it's still the same.
It's still the same damn card. Yeah, I gotta get some new ones. Hey, no hugging downtown. I was gonna get a couple of your. Anything you've done most recently you really like?
Yeah, I mean, this one's relatively new. This one here is relatively new. I felt like you probably...
I like that one. You got a copy of that one?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's a few new things out here. I did this on...
I saw you, Nancy, and I saw you hugging and holding hands, shocking.
One block over and two blocks down, and I'll be fine.
A couple of these did on the U.S. tour. This one's relatively new. This one's new.
What about this?
That one's old. It's only like 2 years old, I think. Two plus years old.
How about... Can I take this one and your famous weird-looking new one? The black and white one.
Yeah, there's going to be more coming soon. We're waiting on our print batch. So that's all. It's on the way.
Just gives me optimism that could be a way we could leverage some more power from people, you know? Well, that's right, it's there, right? It's like we're sort of doing a decimal system of democracy still, old school, you know, whatever. And again, it might not be the perfect solution.
I'm just gonna, it's a gift. You can re-gift it or do whatever you'd like, cool. But the more the merrier.
Now, make sure you put your date as well as your autograph.
The date is today.
Today is?
I just write today.
I'm going to put the 8th month. I write the 8th. Fair enough.
I'm on there. I'm not for that kind of thing, though. I just don't.
And this is for the... This is your 5,000th signature.
5,000? I would not be alive if that was the case.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. No, there's been a lot of these that have gone out. I don't even want to know how many times I've written my own name. It would kill me inside. I've thought about how many times I've written love, though. I feel like that's gotta be doing something, right?
If you feel it, that's what counts. If you don't, then shame on you.
What is, today's the 8th?
Today is the 8th.
Did you want dates on all of them?
If you can.
Sure.
Otherwise, I can put them on later, if you prefer that. Whatever's
comfortable. I can do it.
I have a little journalism to do across the street. Across from my book, if you get your phone.
You're tracking weird energy. Where are we talking?
Behind me. Over there. I'm going to get right back to you.
Oh, yeah. I'll be right back, Jeff. And I then crossed the street and found one of the, I call him, Goon Squad might be a little strong because he was being very genteel about it, but he was issuing a ticket to Tamarack, the drummer, for a cigarette, which apparently he had lit up and on Pacific Avenue, which, as you know, is a no-no, or perhaps you don't know that, but you should know that. But in any case, I'm going to play that in a bit.
But first, let me see if I can get a hold of Keith McHenry and get his update. All right, well, I'm on the line with activist Keith McHenry, who is about to, he's plowing ahead at the Food Not Bombs meal. And Keith, you actually spent some time today on the air at KSCO, which actually this was your second go-around with Michael Zwirling.
And the first hour, we talked, you know, about the conditions of living outside and in Santa Cruz and those kind of things. So Michael Swanning, he said, instead of trolls on here, we need to have solutions. You know, that's what he was interested in. I'll talk to you in a bit, Chris. I'm on the radio. That was... It was funny, and people came to the meal. So anyway, it went 2 hours. I'm telling you, 2 hours. I mean, there was a note passed MZ that apparently said that the guy that was after him didn't want to do a show and said we could go another hour, but I had to get down here to cook. So I came down. As I was leaving to go down to cook, I ran into Barley, who was out in front of the station with a little sign and for Desiree. And so I was able to invite her to take my place. And so she did the last hour, and it's on their podcast is on their.
It's on their website, ksco.com, but it's also posted on the Huff website because I recorded it as well.
Oh, cool.
Without commercials and news breaks. So for those who are interested, go to huffsantacruz.org and check it out. You'll see it under, I guess it's Keith and Alicia, and then this third person who I don't think I know.
Barley?
I guess not. Yeah.
Yeah, Barley. Lives up in the Pocono, and she actually described in great detail, not on the air, but to Alicia, she was there soon after Desiree was hit by the tree. It was a redwood tree. It was 5 feet across, that's what killed her. So, and then she was surprised that everyone there wasn't killed. It's such a huge tree. So she came in. Yeah, she got to be. And then, as you probably heard, MZ is suggesting that we have a regular show. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to organize that. And I don't know if it would be monthly or weekly or what it would be, but. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I actually heard the second half. Well, I heard most of the show, and I thought it was pretty good. Particularly the first part of the show when you and Alicia really laid it out, and I think Zwirling was really listening. He's usually rather conservative talk show host, even though he's a genial fellow in many ways. He runs a pretty right-wing station. He's a Trumpster kind of guy.
Yeah, he likes Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's really respectful of Food Not Bombs. It's very interesting. And he actually said the last show we did...
A couple of weeks ago,
he said he got huge response.
Well, I think that's
he
it.
He asked me a lot of interesting questions. I wasn't so much around people living on the streets in the beginning of that last one. It's more about the history of Food Not Bombs and stuff. And...
Yeah, if people want to hear that, they can go back to KSCO's archives at ksco.com and look up the Saturday special for a few weeks ago and find that. I didn't archive that one on the Huff website. Anything else happening? I've heard rumors of different things, but I'm, I don't wish to cross any lines.
Going on that's really going to be amazing, I think. When is this broadcast? On Sunday?
This broadcast Sunday at... starts at 9:30, I believe.
Yeah. So there could be some amazing news around that time, a little after that. So and there was a lot of conversation and meetings and stuff about it. So I'm relatively optimistic that that's a real possibility.
Now, do you want to say what you're talking about, or are you going to unveil that later?
10 o'clock is too early to be letting the cat out of the bag.
Okay.
So, and even now it's too early.
Well, the cat won't be out of the bag until this is played, which is at 9:30 on Sunday. So.
Yeah. So I want to give it more time than that. So, anyway. I'm very excited about that. There's a lot of great things. Then we have, there's a really, people are really rallying together in a way I've never seen amongst the people living outside in Santa Cruz in a long time, if ever. Sometimes at the Freedom Sleepers period, there was some great solidarity and enthusiasm, but this is... totally driven by people, a lot of people in the Poconet.
Huh.
I think a lot of it is from that community there.
A public tar and feathering of Martine Bernal, perhaps?
Might be something like that. I think that it's going to be very interesting. If this happens, Martine Bernal and Susie O'Hara will be in a funny situation. Because neither of them are in town right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, of course, for those who are listening who don't know, that's the city manager, assistant city manager, whose behavior and engaging in both false information and then also legal action to destroy the Ross camp put a lot of people in peril and resulted, many of us believe, in the death of Desiree Quintero.
Correct. Yes. Then the other thing is that, I think we're up to 10 homeless unions in California, and there's a 11th one that is in the making. I just sent a bunch of stuff down to a woman in Pomona. So there seems we're trying to get as many as 500 members in the state by the first of the year, and the momentum seems to be really happening. And Crystal in Sacramento is saying she's getting, after that disruption of the California League of Cities homeless workshop in Sacramento, that was on broadcast on TV and so on, and she's getting a lot of interest in people starting.
Well, I would call it the colorful education of the numerous League of Cities bureaucrats and consultants who were assembling in Sacramento, allegedly to discuss housing and homelessness, but without much homeless representation until the homeless themselves walked through the door.
Yeah, and that changed things, and that put things in a whole different light. And
they immediately, of course, began to give millions of dollars to homeless shelters and health and concerns in Sacramento, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that was funny when they did the TV coverage of the local Sacramento station had Steinberg, the mayor, who also gave the he was the keynote speech because of the governor's task force on homeless co-chair. He goes, we can have a tent city under the freeway right here. This is great. Right under the freeway. And that would house like 70 people. You're just like, wow, he's thinking real big.
Well, I remember that one of the suggestions, I guess, I don't know if you heard it or not. I think you probably had left the studio, the KSCO, the station played to Alicia and her co-host, was that there'd be a big campground set up in the desert.
Oh, that was before. That was when
you did hear that. Yeah, and that people be forced to go there for drug and alcohol treatment, you know.
Right. And then, I know. And we're just, our faces are like, oh my God, that's crazy. And,
But that's the narrative that's being spread throughout. And then, of course, you had all the old memes on that show. I think what did happen after you left was there are many groups of homeless. Some have drug problems. Some are alcoholics, and some are mentally ill. These are the categories we have to separate and deal with and force them to deal with their addictions and problems. This is a kind of a constant refrain you hear But what kind of problems, if any, or delights are you finding at the Food Not Bombs meal today?
Oh, people, well, so many people that came and listened to the radio program. That was intense. So it definitely is like the, and they were so, and they all were like, oh, wow, you're going to have a regular show, because they heard that too. So, and there was such relief. It had like a really big impact. It was intense amongst people living, you know, that come to eat with us. It was amazing. I was just, so what, isn't my tagline that KSEO is the home of the homeless? And remember, that's the spinoff of that KRCA. That's the station down in Santa Monica. They had like some guy that had, we're the home of the homeless. And
what about
that was really interesting. And then people brought up sleeping bags, and Cooper came, and Russell came, and Cooper talked about all the details of moving around Loudon Nelson and what's been going on.
What has been happening at Loudon Nelson? Anything there? I know
they
people.
Well, a bunch of their property was taken. That's why she came to get sleeping bags. And there's about, I guess, 15 people there. And then the most tragic thing was that one of the people, they had to move around to Washington Street, but one of the older women happened to be in front of a house, and the owner came out at 2 a.m. and hosed her down. So, and according to Cooper, the guy that did it was the father of a Santa Cruz police officer that also lives there.
Do we know the name of this person?
And I don't know the name of it. This is just what Cooper was relating, so we could always connect with her. And then, there was that.
When was this? Do we know?
In the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. They've been really struggling over there, but they're, you know, there's also been a lot of really cool people coming by to visit them and stuff. So they're overall doing pretty well, but they did lose... Oh, a couple of days ago, Russell lost his tent and everything got destroyed by, I think, the Rangers while he went to the bathroom.
He hiked across town to go to the bathroom, or?
Well, there was no bathroom at Loudon Nelson, needless to say, so he left to go to the bathroom. I'm not sure whether he went to Laurel Street or to, Saturn or the police station or what he did, but, anyway, the people guarding the stuff said that they just broke all this tent poles and, you know, ripped the tent apart, like blasted it up and threw it in the back of a pickup truck.
Wow.
So, and then a lot of people have come tonight looking for sleep tents beyond the normal sleeping bag stuff. And
what's the story around the, is there still an encampment around along the post office fence?
Yeah, that got, everybody was told to leave, and they sprayed it, supposedly, but you can't really tell. And then everybody's back. There was like 4 tents when I got there.
How many do you see now?
I have to walk back over there. I'm over sitting over in where Roberta sits. I'll be over there shortly. I can't believe it's this dark at 5:45.
Yeah, winter is coming for sure.
Yeah. So we're going to have that memorial on the 21st of December here at the post office. And then on the 1st of December, we're going to have an art show. And a lot of artists are all excited about that. And apparently the flyer has been posted all over the place. That's pretty cool. And it looks like, Dreamcatcher is making a whole bunch of art specially for the show. And
this interview follows, by the way, the return of, an interview I did with Alex and Joff, who, as you may know, are back in on the streets of Santa Cruz.
I thought I saw them setting up art on Forever 21. I don't know what we're going to call Forever 21 once. It's no longer Forever 21, but so, yeah.
Really cool. I did hear from Serge, who made a brief arrival at the Drew Agenda discussion session on Friday, discussing the upcoming city council agenda, which there's not much on it except more money for tasers for the police.
Oh, I saw that. saw that, yeah.
Is that the CATCH committee, after the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless Activists, myself, you, and others, and Alicia left, they voted to support the Loudoun Nelson management's Izeth Ray's decision to keep the bathrooms closed. But they are assuring us that there will be two porta potties at some point this winter, and maybe some plans for discussion of a so-called transitional encampment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did hear something like that, too. That's ridiculous. Oh,
well. Well, I'm gonna leave it there unless there's more you've got. Is there anything else you want to report on?
I think so. I think that's, well, there'll be more things to report on next week, that's for sure.
Yeah, I did hear there's stuff brewing, and I'm eager to see what happens next, or at least not eager might not be the word, probably skeptical, but hopeful, you know, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting. Okay, well, take care.
You too, man. Bye-bye. And that, of course, was Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs at the Saturday Food Not Bombs meal.
Summer's evening, July 2015, a con man made a gamble, tried to build a wall of cards. He thought he'd won the payout on the day he got elected, but then came the new players, and they were not drug tards. When they reached across the table, raking all his winnings, a voice came through the darkness. Anger was aroused, the words came from the speaker, making his life bleaker, when she told him that a joker could not be her full house. She said, you should not be loving when your deck is not a full one. The words just made him angrier, so of course he doubled down. The night got deadly quiet, and the silence made shuffle. She knew that he would blink first, cause she wasn't knowing town. He didn't know how to play or what to say when. Didn't read the rules, cause he don't know how to read. He just wiped up boom. It was classic Dunning-Kruger. He likes the neural networks to know he can't succeed. Gambling knows a game cannot be won by stealing someone else's cards and claim them as your own. When your back's against the wall and you're betting on the outcome, the best that you can hope for is to just be left alone. But he thinks he's an ace player and the best that ever could be. He's threatening to challenge her another round. The stakes are high, but not for him. He doesn't care who gets hurt, he only wants to win. He doesn't know when to weigh in, stuck in his playpen. Doesn't know he tips his hand by the way he acts. He wants to be the big guy, the strong suit at the table, but he lacks the capacity to know that's what he lacks. Doesn't know what he's saying,
what I'm saying,
who he's dismaying.
He's dismaying.
Doesn't know not everyone was dealt a diamond flush, so he stacks the deck. For those who do not need it, he builds his hand with wild cards. He wants to win that much. Doesn't know how to play or what to say when. Didn't read the rule book about the deck he stacks. He will always be a loser. In his classic Dunning-Kruger, he lacks the neural networks to know that's what he lacks.
And that's Don Carone and the Parody Project singing, I would imagine, about Trump. from a parody of the song The Gambler, a song written, according to the notes, by Don Schlitz and recorded by several artists, most famously by American country music singer Kenny Rogers. Johnny Cash also sang it. It was a number one country hit back in the late 70s. And if you want to hear the words more clearly, go to the video and look it up. And it's called The Gambler, a parody by Don Caron. So if you've been listening to this show, prior to the interview with Keith McHenry, you heard me talking to Alex and Joff, two portrait artists. Well, portrait isn't the right word. Abstract artists, artists, if you will, painters, who are displaying their work on Pacific Avenue. And Alex pointed out to me a drummer being accosted by a police officer who was writing that person a ticket. This is one of these Parks and Rec, we gussied you up in brown uniforms and have you patrolling Pacific Avenue as part of the, I call them the homeless go-away squad, but yeah, they also go after performers and so forth. But this had to do with a smoking ticket, and so I went over to hear what was happening, and this was the outcome.
And we have Tamarack being addressed, even though he's within the sacred...
Tamarack, or Joe Hurley, is also known as a guy you can find on Pacific Avenue beating a drum to a repetitive rhythm. He's often down there. People who are more acquainted with drumming or more appreciative of fine drumming, if you will, than I am, don't like his rhythms particularly. I kind of like to see anybody out there adding some color and some sound to Pacific Avenue. But here's what happened.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
And we have Officer Gonzalez of the police, so as a ranger, about to give a smoking ticket. Hey, Tamarack. He's about to get a $200 to $300 citation. Is about to be issued for smoking, which no one has complained, but apparently it's an opportunity for Officer Gonzalez to issue a citation.
And I realized I'd been speaking quietly about this issue, so I began to raise my voice shortly thereafter, as I occasionally do when I come across citations on Pacific Avenue that piss me off.
I don't know if this individual can afford it either, but that doesn't seem to matter to Officer Gonzalez. He's not asking about his income situation.
You can always just check in with...
He's acting as though it's some sort of reasonable response, but in fact, of course, it's very costly and has nothing to do with any real public service, except possibly it has something to do with if someone were complaining that they have an asthmatic problem or something, that would be an issue, but it's not, and that's not happening. And Tamarack is sitting inside the, well, his drum is inside the four corners of the ordinance area.
Yes.
And we have a smoking ticket on Pacific Avenue here. The danger of a person smoking, although he doesn't seem to be smoking now. He asked for a warning, but... No, he's getting a $200 to $300 ticket for smoking on Pacific Avenue. Can he afford to do this? Is it a good idea? Well, one person over here says good. I don't think it's good. I think it's bad. I think it's really bad, actually, because I think that giving tickets to people who can't afford them, giving tickets to people who are simply here and not bothering anybody else, is a mistake and a bad priority.
Yeah,
that's what
agree.
I think. But this individual
hey,
has this
I
to
disagree.
Say. I disagree. Okay, go ahead. Tell me your thoughts.
Secondhand smoke. It affects other people's health. Maybe you should think about that.
I have thought about that, and I think it's a consideration. It's not worth $250 to a poor person. Maybe to you it is. Why don't you pay the fine if you want to do that? If you want to support people's health, pay the fine for them. I'm sure Mr. Hurley would appreciate it if you'd pay his fine. You know you're willing? Are you volunteering to do that?
You know how to
read? You're not.
Okay. You know how to read?
No, you're not.
Do you know how to read?
Yeah. Thank you for imposing your thoughts on everybody else. Thank you for imposing your fines on other people. Not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Of course, carried away in the moment, I'm, of course, broadcasting my views and my thoughts, but I'm responding to an action by an officer that seems to me to be untoward, uncalled for, and part of, I think, what creates a situation of potential fear downtown. You don't see it all the time, but I think it's hovering there waiting, and it's kind of ready to be activated when the police officer pulls out his ticket book.
$250 smoking ticket on Pacific Avenue here. So watch out. It's also for vaping, by the way, so watch out. These rangers are always on the job to make sure that you don't light up.
You good, OK?
Take care, man.
How you doing, Scott?
This is what your money is paying for. Is it rape? Is it theft? Is it murder? No, it's a ticket for smoking. Did he put out his cigarette? Yes, he did. But that's not enough for Officer Gonzalez here. He insists on dragging this individual into court, requiring him to pay $250, and he's wasting our money and our time and this man's time with this citation. Well, he chews gum and writes out a citation on Pacific Avenue. Bad idea, Officer Gonzalez. Go where you're needed. Don't go here. Don't stay here. Don't do this.
Okay,
he's not, of course, listening to me, but that's how it goes. And he's giving you the usual rap. He's telling the victim here, all you have to do is sign on the line. Now, if the courts were open, I would encourage you not to sign the line and suggest the cop go into court and present probable cause for this citation. That would take him off the harassment beat for a little while.
And actually, a full disclosure, there is probable cause for the citation, probably, although I didn't see the whole interaction. Because if an officer sees someone lighting up a cigarette on Pacific Avenue, that's the basis for a criminal citation and infraction. Although it's well known that employees, businesses go off to the side and light up on side streets where it's also illegal to light up. And they don't, as far as I know, get citations. But in this case, this guy did, who's a regular drummer there. And I don't know that Gonzalez has a particular hard-on for this guy. He may not. But there is a way to essentially give a cost to police officers who are engaged in this kind of harassment, particularly if it's without probable cause. And that is if the courts are open, that is if it's a weekday between 8 in the morning and, I don't know, 4 in the afternoon, you can say, I'm not refusing to sign. I want to talk to your supervisor. I'd like to go to court. Right now, I'll go to court and we can actually see if you actually have probable cause to issue this citation. Now, the part of the motivation here is to point out to police officers who are engaging in this kind of citation writing on Pacific Avenue, where it looks like it's particularly focused on performers who are down there or homeless people who are down there, and not necessarily an even use of enforcement of the law. Or maybe it is an enforcement of a law that is itself overreaching. For example, it's folks who are outside, and Tamarack is not outside. He's not a homeless person, but they're homeless people in the majority smoke at a far higher rate than folks who are the general population in the country, which includes mostly people who are housed. So here's a little more of the diatribe that I was putting out on the streets as this was going on.
But that's not what's happening here. And no, thank you, sir. Take it somewhere else, please. Because I got something to say about this. It's important. That's why. And I'm saying it loudly to people. This is harassment, and it isn't a good idea.
He, I don't know.
Was it a joint? Was it a cigarette? I don't. I wasn't even present when it happened.
I'm smoking down here.
Right.
The sign is right there.
Yeah, there's a sign right there. And if the sign, is there, we must obey, mustn't we?
Remember, address.
Stop sign, right?
Stop sign has to do with real traffic. This is not real traffic. Yes, I understand the asthma issue, but that's not with most people here, sir, and you know that. So walk off and avoid the issue. Fine. But unfortunately, this guy can't walk off. He's got a citation. Yeah, raise your arm in a Nazi salute. That's a great idea. Not a good idea, sir.
And actually, he was raising his arm in a kind of a, I don't know, it was a fist in the air. I don't know. It's unfair to call it a Nazi salute, which I have given to a city council when they are repressing people from speaking. So I should clarify that this guy is not making that gesture, but he is making a gesture of some kind. And certainly I disagreed with him, and I disagreed with him strongly.
Hey, can't be smoking. You are allowed to smoke a full block that way or a full block the other direction, okay? Either Front Street or Cedar.
And he's being told he can smoke one block to the right or one block to the left.
You have a good night, Mr. Morse.
It's Norse, and I'm not having a good night as long as you're doing what you're doing. Tamarack, any thoughts from this?
No. I was smoking. That's wrong.
What were you smoking?
Just a cigarette. But I fucked up and lit one up. But he could have gave me a break.
Instead of a $300 ticket.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, I don't know how much it is. It may be less, it may be more, but I think it's around there.
Ooh, that's a major problem.
And anything, any other thoughts?
No.
You're a man who plays drums frequently on Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you're a part of the scene here usually.
Right.
Have you experienced any other problems from police, or has this been just a sort of a unique situation?
That's unique. I usually don't have no problems. I'm not making any problems. None. But he just wanted to lay that down.
You know. Well, drum on.
All right, Bob. All right, yeah.
You've been talking with?
Tamarack.
Thank you, Tamarack.
All right, Bob.
All right.
It's fucking bullshit. Just got to be trying to live, man. I just want to ask, how much is the fine?
You know, I have to check into it because we're actually changing the bail schedule at the next city council meeting on Tuesday. But it has been, for these kinds of infractions, usually $200 to $300.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
I mean, the actual fine says much less, but if you add all the court costs,
they'll
charge you. Yeah. That's the so-called bail cost.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I was walking down. I was about to light a cigarette, and then I saw this. And I was just thinking, you know, and the guy that walked past vaping, like, this cop is very clearly choosing certain people to write up. Not only that asshole, those...
Well, I was hard on the cop, but what I did say was... he recognizes Tamarack as a regular down here, whereas he might not have given you a ticket. He might have given you a warning because he thinks Tamarack should have known that's the law, that's the rule. But I am really hostile to these kinds of citations. I might not have been entirely fair to the officer, and I want to acknowledge that to anybody listening. So.
That's all right. I totally understand that.
They came by in the shorts.
Say that again?
The guy that was talking to you, right? He might have been the guy that called the cops.
Well, I think he was walking by on the other side of the street and saw me raging on about this, so.
Well, somebody is, maybe he's just walking around.
Did he say there had been a complaint or not?
No, he didn't.
I think he saw you and he assumed you were, he doesn't like your drumming, I don't know. what's your name?
Benjamin.
I'm Robert Benjamin.
For sure.
No, so this should be on. Yeah, this should be on free radio or on the net. Actually, we're not on the broadcasting. We're netcasting on Sunday morning.
Cool. If you want, can you give me like a?
I'll give you a card. I'll give you a card.
Awesome.
This is
Thank
the.
Cool. I'm gonna be right back. I'm gonna go to the ATM.
Okay.
Obviously, I can't get $200, but I want to help out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be right across the street, and he'll be here, I guess.
For sure.
Thanks, Benjamin.
Yeah, of course. I'll be right back.
All right, man. And I don't know whether Benjamin came back with money or not for Tamarack, who wasn't really doing it for money. He just likes to be out there beating his drum. And there were a few more interviews on the street, and I'll follow those. It appeared there are a lot, more people are on the avenue these days, at least on this particular night, last Friday night. And that's a good thing.
A little further up the street, we have the work of Michael Lee Knox, Help Me Sell My Children. Ooh. These are your children, these paintings?
Yes, and I am explaining them.
Well, that's shocking, I know, but no hassles for leaning against the building, for example?
I have not. I've been having a very, very different experience. They've been nice to me lately.
And I hope they continue to be.
And this was a man who was sitting against the wall with a bunch of paintings leaning against the wall. I think he was near, if not in, one of the few disced rectangular areas. There are areas demarked by four discs and creating a rectangular shape on the sidewalk, small discs, which are supposedly the areas where it's legal to have a so-called display device. And a display device is something capable of holding tangible things. It's not necessarily a sign or a billboard or anything like that, but it simply can be a cap if you're playing a guitar, or an open guitar case, or a little bottle if you're a panhandler, as you'll hear me talking to someone who is a mom who was sitting there with her child. You may have seen her. She's around the area of Marini's and the coffee roasting company. Sounds like she's from Slovenia. I guess you said she was from Moldova. I'm not quite sure proper pronunciation. Anyway, this was another painter, and he was, I don't know if he was vending or, well, let's hear what he had to say.
I will.
Still getting hassled by private security, though.
First alarm?
Yeah, like I stopped to blow my nose in a...
You didn't have a permit when you did that, did you?
Oh, no, I did not. But I did have a flu.
Well, that's not really permissible. You should be taking care of yourself inside a house.
I had literally just passed through this parking lot. I stopped to blow my nose, and some private security said that they had a complaint about me, which I can't imagine what it would have been.
Nose blowing without a permit. I'm shocked.
Well, I hadn't loitered or stopped to speak to anybody, or I didn't pass a word to any other patrons in the parking lot. I literally crossed through the parking lot and stopped to blow my nose, and security came up.
You learned your lesson, you know. I mean, come on.
They came up behind me and said that somebody called a complaint. And then they asked me about these syringes or something, I don't know, caps. There's some litter.
Aha! The real truth. You're selling syringes and then ineptly disposing of them.
No, he basically insinuated that these syringes on the ground might be mine, but I don't do drugs. In fact, I don't even drink alcohol anymore. The only thing I do is tobacco.
And we've been talking with?
Michael Knox.
Thank you.
Genuinely insulted.
Thank you, Michael. A sign that says, please help me with some change to pay for my motel, buy some food. I have four brothers. God bless your family. This is from Isabella and Katerina from Moldavia. Yes? How long have you been out here today?
Today?
Yes.
6 hours.
6 hours. And how much money have you made? Enough for a motel room?
How much motel?
Yeah, I mean, have you made enough today to pay for a...
I pay for much.
Yeah, just... Well... All right, well, carry on, and I will carry on, too.
This room is 100.
All right, well, carry on, and I will carry on, too.
$100 room.
It's $100, yeah, for a room. That's right.
100 for room.
100?
For room.
For the two of you.
Give me $100, please.
And that's Katerina asking for $100. No, but have a good evening, babe. You ready to go? Joseph?
Joseph Earl Taylor III.
You found a solution to how you can sit down without being hassled?
Yeah, I did.
And what's that solution?
I have to create a sign and not talk to people.
And not talk to people? That's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Who told you that?
Brent.
Brent Adams told you that?
Yeah.
That's peculiar. I'm not sure why that... I don't think that's a requirement, but maybe he's suggesting you won't cause anyone to get upset or some bullshit.
Yeah. Because they're still not bothering those people what are sitting down and not talking to anyone.
Okay, well, then don't lose your bag, whatever. You take care of it.
Ooh, there's another ground cup.
Go for it. And we've been talking with?
Joseph Earl Taylor III.
Thanks, Joseph.
Yes, you have a good one.
All right. And Joseph, in a previous interview, was concerned that he was being targeted by police for sitting down, whereas the mom and the little girl, who are actually apparently doing pretty well financially in terms of, according to the person who was walking along with me, observing the amount of money that she had. But Joseph is, you may have heard him before on the show. He's been trying to get away from town, but he's drawn back by need to address Social Security issues, possibly citations, I don't know. But, So now we're going to jump back to the second half of an interview I did with Cornerstone Carol Denny, as I call her, singer, artist, activist in Berkeley, who I spoke with by phone, a few days ago. Wasn't able to play the whole interview, so here's the rest of it now.
Quite amusing, considering the Sturm and Drang over bathrooms right now. They're in the middle of a big bathroom study. They've had 4 public meetings on bathrooms, and I'm really going to enjoy the report when it comes out because, it's not like the Pepper Spray Times needs any more comic material, but this is going to be really good.
Pepper Spray Times, we should say, is your monthly publication, which
yes,
people can find online or get hard copies of by subscribing, which you've been doing for, 25 years now? Something
30, like. About 30 years.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
Coming out of hard times, of course.
No, that's right. On the heels of a previous publication called Hard Times, which went for about 10 years. So I've been writing comedy for about 40 years in this and other capacities. But there certainly is no end to the comedy of a town that has all of its toilets locked up, including the ones at People's Park. There's a wonderful video which one of the students on campus took of the fact that during the last concert in People's Park, and, you know, you can hear the drums and you can hear the music and big applause after each song, and it's an interview with someone talking about, I think the interviewee is Max Ventura, talking about the efforts by the people to build our own bathrooms. And we had plumbers and contractors and so forth, and there are old lines in there. So we were, constantly being arrested for trying to build our own bathrooms. So what they built was this weird kind of police outpost prison with a couple of bathrooms, 2 stalls, 2 for men, 2 for women, and then they locked them up. So they're locked most of the time, and then the rest of the time, often they're just inoperable. There's no water in there. There's no soap in there. It's just, it's ludicrous to call it a bathroom.
Is this the large bathroom next to the basketball court where the police used to have a substation upstairs?
Yeah, there's no second story, but essentially they have a People's Park person in there. His name is evading me, but I know his name. Anyhow, he's not a bad guy, but and like it's a job, but it's also really a pointless thing to. It's a pointless role in so many ways because nobody. He has no authority with the people in the park, and in the park has its own culture. So anybody who claims a false sense of authority by virtue of their connection to the University of California has a hard row to hoe, as we would say.
I saw the video of the memorial for Michael Diehl, who died about a month and a half ago, and I saw you made it into the park past all the smokers.
one that was in the park itself, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I really, it was a great, I think, series of speeches. I like what was done, and any comments about Michael that you want to comment on, although I don't think anybody down here probably knows him that well, but maybe some do, I don't know.
You know, the people of Santa Cruz might not have known Michael Diehl, although he may have crossed paths with some of them, but I bet they know someone like him, someone who has such a wonderful, creative, gentle way with people that people just really will feel better after talking to him. He had a kind of magic to him, and for years he worked with building opportunities for self-sufficiency or like Berkeley, Oakland, support services. BOSC was an acronym that kept changing its thing. It was supposed to, the words that went with it, but he was an outreach worker for them for many, many years. And then when he lost that job, when they got new management, Unichima, who was the previous director in many ways a monumental person, she left that role, and as soon as they had a new director, he managed to effect the termination of Michael Diehl. And I really think it's a different town with his loss.
You also in the past, and it's been a while now, have talked about and are still writing for Street Spirit, but we're concerned about management, editorial policy, connections with the city. Any updates on that?
I just haven't written for them for about 3 months now.
Ah.
So disturbed by their, I guess what disturbs me most is that Street Spirit was a street publication designed to be something that people on the street could sell, and a lot of changes were made to it when Terry Messman left as the editor. So I have nothing against the new editor. Most of my annoyance is with the fact that it is now owned and governed by Sally Heineman at Youth Spirit Artworks. So she promotes her own programs in it all the time, which is a conflict of interest. And if I were the editor, I would say, we're not doing that. Or what I was suggesting when we still have technically an advisory board, they just refuse to allow it to meet. But I'm on that advisory board, and what I have consistently recommended is that the pro-Youth Spirit Artworks articles be limited to one per year. So they can get their coverage if they want. Like, they're another of the do-goody groups in town. But if every single issue promotes YSA, it just becomes less interesting to me. And YSA is doing a lot of things I don't support, like tiny homes. And I just think tiny homes are an insult to a real human being.
What about KPFA? You've probably heard recently WBAI has won a lawsuit to stop the Pacifica Corporation from eliminating the local program. They've reclaimed it. Not that there has been a hell of a lot of local programming at KPFA recently, but any sense of that?
No, I didn't. I am behind the times with it. I thought it was shut down.
KPFA or the local programming?
WBAI.
It was, at least that was reported on Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Yesterday, that they had won the battle, a legal battle in court, and they were reclaiming the local programming. Again, I don't know how much local programming WBAI actually had, even before the Pacifica takeover. I haven't been following it very closely.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm just horrified by the fight, and I wish to God I don't know. But I don't think that we need TV if we have radio. Like, screw TV. So, Amy Goodman's on TV. Like, what's that about? Screw it. Just be good radio. I feel really strongly like TV's just sort of a money suck.
Any pirate radio left in Berkeley?
Oh, yeah, Berkeley Liberation Radio.
Do you listen to it?
I can't get it here. Yeah.
Mm. What about the freeway situation with the Where Do We Go camp?
Oh, you'll see in your next Pepper Spray Times. I don't know if you have ever seen this, but Where Do We Go shines brightly out of four colorful tents.
Used to. Is it still there? Or?
It's still there.
Good.
At least I was just about to walk down and check on it, so I was there a few days ago, and I'm thrilled by it. And the treatment of it is that it's astounding art critics worldwide who come to do it honor.
Because I think I'd see.
It's a beautiful thing to see, I have to say.
Yeah. No, I liked it too. When I was there, it wasn't there, or perhaps I wasn't in the right position to see it. But I saw it later, and I've been in touch with Andrea and other folks who've been, you know, putting their for house folks who came down and stayed there for she'd been there for a week when I contacted her. I tried to reach her today but haven't been able to reach her, but I had heard probably through Facebook or some such thing that because I don't think they have a website, but they're using Facebook to, you know, publicize. So is the Landless People's Alliance, so is First They Came for the Homeless. As you pointed out, it's, you know, a popular venue for people to use. You could, you know, I'd heard there that there had been a raid and it had been removed, but I haven't looked at it closely. And in fact, one of the reasons I called you was to see if you knew any more about
it. That's so funny, because I was just about to go down there.
Well, I may call you later and see what you've learned. So
I will not be in, but
well, I mean, you know, later, a few days down the way.
Okay. All right.
Anything else you want to comment on that you think we haven't covered? I'm sure we haven't covered a lot, but I can't think of anything right now. So.
Here's to Kentucky. That just elected a Democrat governor. I'm getting a big kick out of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot more confidence in those folks than I do, but I hear what you're saying. You know, anyone but Trump is... And what the Democrats are hoping to use to get into power, I don't think it works that way.
Oh, you know what's really great is the incumbent governor of Kentucky rallied with Trump. Trump came down and said, you know, I'll take it really personally if you don't reelect this guy. And, you know, Kentucky is a bright red state and just turned its back on that governor.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is health care. They know that he was dedicating to dismantling what little opportunities people have for coverage, and that is not washing with the people of Kentucky. Their suffering behind being a tobacco state is huge. So it's really changing the politics as people are tired of all the deaths in their own families, all the death and disease, and want to see a bright future for their kids.
Another thing I'll be talking about today in the show and reading an article, it's from the Santa Barbara Independent about their success in pushing back against the attempt to mess with people's shopping carts, what homeless people use to keep their stuff in and on the sidewalks. Apparently, Joe Doherty, a lawyer down there with Peter Mira and others, have been successful in pushing back. Has there been any pushback in local homeless resistance from either homeless groups or folks allied with those groups?
There's been mostly a lot more focus on helping the RV groups in town. But right now, we are not winning that battle. We're really not. I think Berkeley and Santa Cruz have a lot in common in that the politicians mostly listen to homeowners. And homeowners are very insular and just feel like it can never happen to them.
Yeah. Well, that's a cheery note to end this on.
Sorry about that.
I expect some new songs to be coming out of you if you have any such inspiration.
I do have some new songs. I got to do another recording and try to get to that.
Where can people, if they can, find any of your stuff? Have you got anything new on the internet or?
I have stuff at CD Baby. If you look up Carol Denny, it'll all be there. And anybody who wants to contact me, I have my own website. If you want some music, I'm glad to send you some.
Okay, and that's Carol Denny, spelled D-E-N-N-E-Y, correct?
That's right.
Well, we got the spelling. We got some of the information. Get any breaking news and you feel like it, feel free to call.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for your good work.
Hey, you too.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And dime. No, up on top, a man can't breathe when he's
living it up,
picking fruit in the orchard trees,
living it up on top.
No one here is a millionaire, but we're
living it up.
What we have to share. Woo.
Living it up on top.
Well, come on, so brother, give me a lyre and a campfire and an open field at night. Give me the sky that you can't buy or sell at any price. And I'll give you a song for free. That's how life ought to be. So that's how I'm living it.
How are you living it?
Living it up. My brother right here, we're living it.
Where are you living it?
Living it up on top.
And the lovers took each other by the hand.
Anybody want a drink?
And danced underneath the sky.
Up on top, we ain't got much, but we're
living it up.
Just enough to fill our cups.
Living it up on top.
Brother, pass that bottle around, 'cause we're
living it up.
Let the poet bless this round.
The patroness of all of this, Persephone.
Hear, hear.
To the sunshine and the fruit of the vine she gives us every year, asking nothing in return, except that we should live and learn to live as brothers in this life, and to trust she will provide. And if no one takes too much, there will always be enough. She will always fill our cups, and we will always raise them up. Well, come on. Let the world we dream about be the one we live in now. 'Cause right now we're living it.
Ah, yeah.
Living it up. Oh, brother, right here we're living it.
Well,